It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. You said every day. Oh, I love sharing the afternoon with y'all so that we can get acquainted on what's what. And I'm just sharing with you today what I know I learned this weekend. You know, Father's Day. That was very nice, very nice. Two boys, two girls, 20 to 24, bringing all boyfriends and wives and grandkids and my lovely wife and breakfast in bed and everything. It's all good. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to share it with you today. But, you know, good mood doesn't mean I got good news. So it's just, you know, it's all perspective. It's how we look at it. What are we going to do about it? Well, this is what I'm going to do today. There's some things that have been, I took the day, 3 hours a day. I'm not going to have a guest. That allows us to do some catch up from last week. There are so many things. We were so full of guests last week. I had a bunch of clips that I wanted to do. Before it gets old, I want to make sure we share a lot of things going on. And I'll go ahead and do that today. But it opens it up for y'all. You know, I don't often, you know, go hoeing for callers, but I'll do that today. You guys call, because today's the day, because we're busy again for the rest of the week, and we're not going to be able to take a lot of callers. So today we'll go ahead and do some calls. We have the board. We'll type in on Skype all the questions they have. Everybody, let's do it. You know, email me, publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. Man, let's get it going on, because this is your chance, because we're going to be really busy the rest of this week. Tomorrow, I have Gerald Celente on. Yeah, he's gonna scare us. You know, we already know what's coming, man. The world's greatest depression. Here we go, Gerald Celente from Trends Research Institute. Yeah, he's looking forward to sharing with y'all. Then I have a gentleman, H.L. Quist. He's going to be in studio. He's was a big developer back in the day and in real estate. And I had him on the morning and last week, and it was fascinating. I mean, you know, he's a big, knows Ron Paul personally, one of those guys. And he knew what was coming, and yep, he gave a presentation at a real estate class for continuing education. My wife's a realtor, and she's going to class, and she goes, she walked up to him after. She goes, you're a Ron Paul guy, aren't you? And he goes, yes, I am. No, personally. So got his information, gave me his presentation sheet that he had and his business card, and we had him come on the air and had a good old time. So I'm going to definitely share that with you. And I know he's going to be excited about Gerald Celente being in. And then, of course, we'll talk live in studio on what's happening in real estate here in America and in Arizona. We're going down at least. Now they call it double dip, like it was ice cream or something. You know, double dip. Get your free double second dip. Double dip. Ooh, Baskin Robbins. Yum 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 yum. Now it's going to get double whammy is what it is. I double dip. It's math. And I keep telling you this, you know, that we have not got, you know, it's one thing. Well, my wife was at the real estate, you had to do 24 hours, you know, every year you got to do 24, you can do a little bit at a time, or you can just do a 2-3 day thing. And, she did 3 days of it. And let me tell you what they said. The banks were threatened by the United States government with audits if they liquidated their shadow inventory. This is all of the foreclosures These are all the people walking away and saying, here's the keys, have a nice day, unfinished new home, all this shadow inventory that's sitting out there that they were going to put on the market. We can just sell now. They knew it was going to go down. They knew they were going to get more then. But I kept telling her and my son and daughter-in-law looking for houses. And I said, don't buy. It's going to go down another 15, minimum 20%, certainly here in Arizona. I go, don't do it. Well, it's cheap. Oh, it's like $400, $500 a month cheaper to buy at current prices now than current rental rates. I go, yep. This is when we knew that real estate, we're going to have Meredith Whitney on next break or the one next segment after that. We'll get it in this hour to where Meredith Whitney's on CNBC and she's going, look, man, how many times have I told you what I tell you is going to happen happens? And then you're still poo-pooing me. You know, what up with that? They haven't had her on for months because she used to be a bank analyst with Oppenheimer Group, I think, with Oppenheimer. And then she just said, ah, screw this. She started her own Meredith Whitney, I don't know, and Associates and give me the money advisor person. Okay, so she's on CNBC and she predicted what was going to happen. She said it's going to go like this. It's going to do this because of that. And here we go. It's called math. Well, the guys on CNBC, they're like cheerleaders. Our economic columnist on freedomsphoenix.com is freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, Jack Gregson. And he went through this before in California. His family did with a real estate bust back in the early 90s there. And he saw it coming here and he got out just in time at the peak and then just rented. And he put it in silver, and he's sitting fine. Well, what does he do this time? His wife is a teacher with the school system, and she just don't want to hear it. You know, he's like, I can't. It doesn't matter how bad it gets or how much to prove I'm right, and so I just got to do that man thing and just say, no, this is what we're doing. It got, you know, bad enough that she, they needed a break for a little while. I mean, she just couldn't take it. And I see it with my daughter-in-law. She just don't want to hear it. She's pregnant with her second child. She's in her early 20s. She wants to, you know, give me my white picket fence, and I don't even want to hear it. I need my own house. I want it now. Now, 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 now. And, you know, so what does my son do? I mean, I don't make a big deal out of it. You know, lifelong, you know, lessons are just as good as avoiding the problems. They buy a house for $80,000-something. It's going to go to 60. I mean, you know, the $20,000 education, heck, that's worth a college education right there. As Neon, I freaking told you so. But, I mean, so how much do you freak out? You want to make sure they know, make sure they understand, but they're going to make their own decisions. What do they see? They see that it's cheaper per month than it would be to rent. That's all they're looking at. Will they be able to rent the home for their $600-700 mortgage a month now for a nice home? Would they be able to? Is that the economy? They're going to do that? I don't know. I had my real estate license also. You know, I didn't do it like my wife. You know, I kind of, you know, just piddled around and, you know, because I could, you know, because really what it was is I wanted access to the system so I could access it. I had a 3-week period one time. They had a crash course of the classes and everything with it. There's a lot more to it than I thought. I learned a lot from that. But, you know, I sent it to my wife. But, you know, I know how to use all the stuff so I can go, look, I'm looking at this. I sold a home one time. This one couple, one family, it was an older woman that had bought the house in Arcadia, a very nice place here in Arizona. It's very sought after. It's Central East Phoenix. That was part of the old community, you know, back in the day. And they got it in the 50s new, and she lived in it up until she was almost in her 90s. And they finally had to put her in a nursing home. So her children were of retirement age. So I'm dealing with two sisters and the boy, the son, and they are like in their mid-60s. One of the women, she worked for GMAC Financing. You know, they did a lot of car loans, home loans, something. It was a General Motors thing. And I think she was in Seattle. And she kept saying, well, the Arizona Republic newspaper says, and I'm going, well, there's your problem right there. That don't mean nothing. You know, this is a, and I would give him the math. I would show him the housing sections on Freedom's Phoenix. I would show him articles. I give him numbers from the multiple listing service. There was 40% of the homes for sale in Phoenix at the time were vacant. It was all this speculative investing because people would give him money. I want it. Fine, sure, here's the money. You know, make the mortgage. You know, just create it. We need it for something else. This mortgage-backed security thing, that's another story. But what happened was, I'm going, and she kept saying, no, we got to offer this. We got to sell it for this. And I'm going, it won't. It needs to be. They wound up selling it for $100,000 less than what they originally listed it before they had me take it. And I told them, and of course on the back, to the point that they would go to the broker and complain about everything I was telling them. Oh, in the end, they got religion. In the end, they started to understand. It's amazing what it was that got them to understand. I'll tell you what that was when we come back and how that applies to now. Because people are making exactly the same mistake right now. You need to listen to this, because if you don't get it, you're going to get burned. You just need to be informed. That's all I'm doing.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, you keep getting the same old story. Oh, same old story. I get the same old story, too. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? You know, yeah, go ahead. Give me the question. Well, freedom. That's the answer. I want to make sure I get this out so you understand why I'm sharing with you this story, because it's going to get a lot worse, and people can't imagine it. They don't see it. They don't. I go, yeah, is there? Okay, let me tell you how bad. Is there still food on the grocery store shelves? Is there still gas at the gas station? Get it? Got chickens? This was, a few years ago at the peak, right when it started to turn over. There was a home, nice home. It was 1950s, out of the 50s. Didn't even have, I got more offers on the stove, old General Electric stove, because Ronald Reagan used to sell that stove on TV. I mean, you know, everybody, these older people, they recognized the stove, electric stove. It was a nice little stove. Not a dang thing was done to that home. But all the homes around it had been remodeled. Granite tops, expanded this, the big pools in Arcadia, Arizona. So the homes around it were going for $500,000 and so on. They listed it at $380,000. Not a chance in heck. I told them, you could sell it right now if you did it in the 320s, right now. No, we'll go 350. Well, you better be ready to take it down like $10,000 a month, every month, to get this thing until it sells, because it's going down. No. Yes, to the point that they would. I'm trying to help them. I'm being straight up. Go to my broker. Oh, we don't like him. He's just telling you, you know, the truth. I don't see where, you know, is it selling? Well, you know, and I do a lot of open houses. I do a lot of stuff because I do a lot of work there, and I just do Freedom's Phoenix. So I didn't mind. You know, I wasn't far away, and, you know, I'd help. I was really nice. You know, I took care of them. But it wasn't until Greenspan went on Fox News one time and said, well, and this is after Bernanke had already taken over, I think. I think it was right when he had left. And he goes, well, yeah, you know, it's kind of maybe sort of almost I can spell the word recession. All of a sudden, man, whoa, what was that? They needed one person to say one word, and all of a sudden, the math. And here, and one of the daughters, she was in finance. I'm like, what Kool-Aid is she drinking, too? She's in this. She's doing mortgage. She's one of the managers. I'm going, what are they telling you people? And you got to keep in mind, you know, my brother-in-law is a Moody's bond rater in New York City. You know, his wife, she works in, Food Inc. dot whatever, Food TV. I mean, you know, the do-it-yourself network. And she's a big web editor for, you know, these guys, they're not dumb. They're smart. But I tell you what they're doing. They want to make their mortgage. They're cogs in the machine. I know whether they believe it or not, that's not even, we don't even discuss it, go there, because it's just, you know, why. But the thing is that I'm looking at the mood, the decision-making process. You can give them rock-solid math means nothing. This is where Elliott Wave comes in. You'll see at the top of Freedom's Phoenix, there's a ad, a rotating ad up there. It's Conquer the Crash, you know, Bob Prechter. And Elliott Wave is it really doesn't deal with fundamentals as much as I'm comfortable with, but that's not what they deal with. They go, all of this is just, you know, underlying manifestation of a cycle of human behavior. They're really looking at there. Human nature is the science. It's the Elliott Wave is a way of tracking mood in societies, the mood of the planet, the mood of the weather. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a mood. You know, it's the only way that you can track human behavior in a large macroeconomic thing is the relationship of 6 billion people on this planet. 6 billion people on this planet that interact with each other, that's manifested in a number. Where do you get that number? What number? The stock market. You manifest a relationships between all of the people interacting. I mean, is there some government report or something you're going by? I mean, what is the most accurate representation of people making decisions? You know, in a free market, they're making decisions. I want this. I don't want that. I'm willing to pay this much. I'm willing to sell it for that, whatever. Stock market. It is a representation of the mood, confidence, willingness, whatever, of an entire planet. Imagine that. Can you go to another planet, you know, of Klingons or whatever, and get some kind of number? Do they have a free market of trading of something that you can kind of get, you know, will the same cycle apply? I don't know. I mean, this is the argument that they're making. So he can show it over history. He goes, look, it goes up like this. You get the over-exuberance of that. It goes down a little bit. It goes up. It's like, you know, I think it's like three steps up and then two steps really big down. Then it starts all over again. It's a fractal. It just keeps repeating. So it's great 2020 hindsight. And then you can see, you know, certain things now they predict and they're going, oh, they predicted this crash, you know, before. They're going, they even say that gold and silver is going to take a dump. Well, what did it do today? Took a dump. So I'm like, and we just had them on what? Last week, they go, oh yeah, no, it's going to take another dump. You watch. So I'm going, okay. So you look at, you know, their track record. You got to give them some street cred for that. And I see it manifested in decision making of individuals that are waiting for something. There's this hope. There's something, but they're not thinking. They're allowing people to think for them. So I'm going, okay. They wound up selling it for, I think, $289 or something when they originally had it listed for $389. But it was paid off, and mom needed to, you know, get in the nursing home and have that paid and everything. So, it worked out. They did, and they didn't blame me. I mean, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I'm, you know, dang it. You get an offer, get it. So what happened? The guys that bought it are in foreclosure already. It's probably already changed, you know, but gone back to bank. You know, because they were thinking, I got a deal. And I knew they didn't have a deal. Right now, people are doing the exact same thing. They're going, ooh, I got a deal. That same house will go for what? You know, $100,000 less than that? You know, $220,000, you know, $80,000. I mean, how much less? We are going to be going nosedive again. They were telling my wife in her classes, real estate classes, and I was saying this on the show. I'm going, they are not going to be getting rid of these houses that the banks have, certainly not until they have closing dates in July. Because this fiscal year, if they start showing that they got on their books houses average of $250,000 and all of a sudden they start taking $85,000, $90,000 bids on these, that's the only way that they can sell them. Then what do they do with all the rest of their inventory? Where do they mark it at? Mark to market. Not just mark to market because I say. Not just mark to market because the Federal Reserve put an arbitrary number up there. Not just mark to market that we're going to put it up and we'll go, give you loans based on the value of what we say it is because we just wrote it on a piece of paper or entered it into a keyboard. It's going to be mark to market what the market actually paid for it. That's mark to market. Now they just use pretend words. Okay. So what happens when they start liquidating? All these banks go out. They're done. They already are done. Done, 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 done. New fiscal year's coming, July. Freddie and Fannie went from a high of $90 a share. They're down to what? You know, nothing? 30 cents? 40, 50? Nothing? They delisted from the New York Stock Exchange. They're down too low, below a dollar, so you're done. You don't get to play anymore. So right now, we're looking at the liquidation of what they call shadow inventory. And they told my wife, they said the reason the banks didn't do it is because the banks were threatened by the government with audits if they did it. This is intentional. Why? What is going on? Oh, we'll speculate when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's stop, take a look around. Look around at the foreclosures. At the vacant houses. You know, one thing that's been happening in the last couple of months is I can tell they're getting ready. They're starting to hire a lot of these house cleaning agencies and groups and whatever people that they come into a house and boom, they'll spend like a day or 2 days and they'll just clean it up. I mean, you know, there's a couple on my street. There's other, and I live in relatively, you know, I mean, it's middle class. It's not, you know, whippy dippy, but you know, I'm, you know, it's a nice neighborhood. You know, it's not, you know, littered with crime or syringes or anything. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, it's a nice enough place. And, you know, and it's a lot nicer now that they went in and, you know, a couple of houses that were vacant, they got all cleaned up. They're ready to put them on the market. They're going to start selling. Okay. Well, listen to this. Shadow inventory lurks over U.S. housing recovery. The storm may have subsided, but clouds continue to hover over the U.S. housing market as homeowners waiting for prices to rise get ready to flood the market with fresh inventory. Many homeowners held off selling during the housing market's downturn, but with the market showing signs of stabilization, they may now be ready to sell. Well, it's going down even further. You know when this was? This article is from a year ago. They were talking about this a year ago. Oh, we're going to put it out in the shadow. We're going to get a year ago. And they didn't. Why? Because the government, federal government, went to the banks and said, you need an audit, boy? You look like you need an audit. And they're going, or you could just kind of hold off on this and suck it up. So they did. Okay. Why? Because what they always want to do, one more election cycle. They can hold it off one more election cycle. Can they? I don't see how. I mean, if they do, it's going to be, man, we're going to be in, here it comes. So now we're looking at inventory is going to start hitting the market. We have adjustable rate mortgages are going to start hitting the increase in the interest rate to where they cannot afford to make the payment. The whole promise was a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when they had the term that it was going to, you know, either balloon payments or their interest rate hits in 3 years, it'll start. Oh, you'll sell it by then. Now, you don't have to worry about it. You get refinancing by then. Don't worry about it. We're just going to get you in the house. Got to create that mortgage. Here we go. So now what are we on? They are having the reset. The maximum, I think, is starting to hit about now. You know, it's this summer and this fall. And then it peaks, you know, about now. I mean, it's going to be for the next year or two. And these are going to go bad. You know, there's already a bunch of people just aren't making their mortgage anymore. So what do they do with the money? They go to dinner. Hey, man, I got $2,500 a month more now. Yeehaw! You know, because some of these mortgages are crazy. And that was one thing. When I had this one home in Arcadia, they were saying, we don't want to sell this to some investor that's then going to turn around and make money on it and rent it and all this. I'm like, what? So I'd show them the math. I go, look, I can rent a home here on the Arizona Biltmore. The Biltmore around here, nice home just like theirs. You could get it a couple of years ago. You could start getting them down for $1,400 a month. $1,400 for a nice three-bedroom, two-bath, you know, 1,800-square-foot home. Yeah, it's not bad. You know, in that nice neighborhood, good school district, which was a big draw there, $1,500 a month. For what you're trying to sell it for with 5 or even 10% down, you're looking at, you know, $2,400 a month payment. Who in the heck is going to buy it for that and then rent it out for $1,000 a month less? You get it? It's not going to happen. And when you know that a real estate market is going speculative and it's overvalued, and you just look at rental rates, who the heck is going to invest in a home that they can't at least get back what they got in a mortgage and rent? People that think they're just going to be able to flip it and sell it. That's who. 40% of the homes 2 years ago on the market were vacant. How many do you think are vacant now? I didn't look. A lot more. Let's put it that way. So when all this starts hitting the market, what's going to happen to home prices? What has to happen to home prices? It's going to plummet. In the next segment, we'll play Meredith Whitney. She was on CNBC. I just wanted to prep it with this so you understood what the issues are. CNBC are the perfect cheer. And that's what made me think of Jack Gregson. He's an economic columnist on Freedom's Phoenix, and he always has, whenever they come out with more BS from the media, he has Will Ferrell and this one woman from Saturday Night Live in their Spartans cheerleading outfit, the perfect cheer. You know what they need? They need a perfect cheer. Let's give them the perfect cheer. Two bits, four bits. You know what? That's what's going on. It's all about creating just a psyop. That's what this whole thing is. It is all just, we can reinflate it if we just all believed. If we sprinkle pixie dust on everything and just close your eyes real tight, click your heels, and just believe, it'll go up. And pay no attention to the fundamentals. Do they even know the fundamentals? They don't. CNBC gets up and they go, yeah, but there was a show here. And, oh, it showed good there. And it did. Yeah, you put in trillions of dollars of stimulus and there's going to be something. Well, who got it all? Where'd it go? Stock market's up. Stock market, yeah. Oh, the financials are doing great. Duh. Where do you think? Did money get down to? No. This is all pretend. So what I want you to understand is that we haven't even got started good yet. The worst is yet to come. The much worse is yet to come. What are you doing? Better start buying food and putting it underneath your bed. You know, I mean, it's time to start getting ready. Are you ready? Are you? I'm. You know, we have a couple of young people in here. Rest of this segment, I want to introduce you to somebody. You know, there's Andrew and Gwen. Andrew and Gwen, go ahead and hit mic three. Hit mic three, and you can use that mic in there. There's two that are lit. Number three, bring it up to 15. You got it? Andrew, say hi. It's over there. Nah, he doesn't have it. Anyway. Oh, it's got to be plugged in over here. I got Andrew and Gwen. Gwen, say hi.
Hi.
Gwen and Andrew, you guys are how old?
I'm 24 and Andrew is 30.
So you guys have been married how long?
Almost 5 years.
This is, you started young. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you're a cradle robber there, Andrew. You know, the so go ahead and come on in here, Andrew. Well, what we'll go ahead and do is I want to. You guys live in an apartment,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you ready? Are you even thinking about, you know, someday you might be buying a home? I mean, what's your plan?
I think our plan at the moment is that we'll be renting for a while still, and then once we're able to save up enough money, we want to buy land and build our own house.
This is, there may be a time to come for that too. Land is still way overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, land is way, way, way overpriced. And there's, how long are you guys able to hold out? I mean, are you just, you're taking advantage of, being married and, having a good time and just relaxing and building a life and making friends and so on and going to school and whatever you're doing. But what's the difference in the future plans for you as compared, my generation was pretty much in the same thing you are. You know, I get married in mid-80s. You know, I came out of high school at 79 while we're at war with everybody and Cold War and Iran hostage and Afghanistan was in the news and oil prices and on, same thing. So now you're in the same situation. I'll tell you what we did. Nothing. We couldn't.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like how I feel. It's like I can't plan to go and buy a house or buy a land. I mean, for myself, I'm working all the time. I can't even save up in this economy for, land and stuff. So, I mean, for me, it's like kind of a dream, but it's almost like you got to have it out of mind. And you're just, wondering that, hey, if I buy property right now, it's just, is the government going to come after me with property taxes? Am I going to lose it? Is it worthwhile to invest all that money into it when it's so, risky to me right now, in the future?
That's another thing. When we come back, Andrew and Gwen just stopped by. They're one of the activist pairs down here. They've been really good hard workers here. We'll spend a little time with them the rest of this hour, and we'll get to Meredith Whitney. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This right here. This generation, these people right here, these are the people I'm going to be spending a lot of time with in Pork Fest in New Hampshire at the end of the year, week here, and I want to make sure that you get a first-hand knowledge of what they're thinking.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're just... Yeah, let it flow today. Let it flow. We got a bunch of stuff that we're going to get to. I got, over 2 hours more. We're going to make sure we get all of it. You guys just stay right there. But you have a good opportunity here. We have Andrew and Gwen. Andrew and Gwen are a young married couple that have been activists here for the past year. And they just come by and say what's up. And every now and then they're down here having some auto repairs done. So they just stop in and bug me. But it's always good to see them. So what's happening is we have an economy that is got served up to this generation. I remember the same thing happened to me. Went through, major inflation in the late 70s. Gas prices went from like 60 cents a gallon to double that. And I had a 327, Chevy, what the heck was it? It was a Chevy Malibu. Chevelle, that's what it is. Chevelle 357, with a Rochester Quadrajet. I mean, the thing got, 3 gallons to the mile or something. I mean, it was just, literally, you could step on the accelerator and watch the gas gauge go down as the speedometer went up.
That's a keeper.
I was like, dang. And then when they doubled the gas prices, I went, oh, heck no. And I was getting paid $2.40 an hour at McDonald's when I was in high school. That was minimum wage, okay? Yeah, you kids, you have no idea. Anyway, so what happens is I'm put into this economy to where there was no financial aid at the time for anything going to college. There was no jobs. There was no manufacturing. There was no, it was all starting to go. The Rust Belt started everything. And the same thing is happening here. Only thing that they did is they changed the economy with the with computers and so on and made us a service economy. It was a financial. It was paper shuffling. Well, that paper went away. Now what? And there's no manufacturing. We're screwed. So now we're in a situation where we have a young couple like Gwen and Andrew that, they want to start having a family. You know, they're starting to try to have children. They're going into, I mean, you just got to, it's like going on faith of what? You know, this is, I mean, dang. I tell you what things that they were doing. Last year when Obama came to speak at Arizona State University, they did a Operation ASU, okay? And they did 17,000 copies of the Obama deception and distributed it over the weeks before Obama came to ASU. Those guys were informed. It's big banners saying, tune in, FM 91, for whatever, little FM transmitter, you know, we're doing and scaring the crap out of them. So this is the kind of, you know, they're engaged, they're in the battle, but, you know, for what? I mean, what do you anticipate? What's the future that you guys are preparing for? It will get better. I mean, it always does. In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really bloody first, you know? Yeah. So I'm just wondering what you guys are expecting.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think what we're preparing for is just to survive everything. And, you know, I've kind of switched my whole life around where it's survival mode. It's like, you know, how do I do gardening, and I can use my parents' house or my grandma's house or whatever to, you know, raise chickens and feed the family. And, you know, how do I, you know, keep my family alive for the economic crisis so I can get past that and, you know, be there to, you know, for the future, you know, to do what I want. And I guess that's where my mentality has gone, is just like, must prepare and I'm debt conscious now. Don't get into debt. Don't carry debt. Don't allow Uncle Sam to come after you, you know, for anything.
Well, you know, now Gwen, you know, a lot of times, you know, being younger, you know, it's always the wife, like my daughter-in-law, she don't want to hear it. You know, she's just like, heck no, don't even want to talk. You know, Laura, man, she's just like, la, 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 you know, it'll all work out, you know? And what do you think? How are you dealing with this?
Well, I do think it'll all work out. And I just, it's like money is not really important to me anymore. And, you know, we can pay for our rent and we buy our groceries and just get by every month. And that's fine. You know, we're still alive and we're happy and
just trying to hold out. You know, one thing you're picking, you've chosen to start training for a new career that's of interest. Tell us about that.
Well, I'd like to become a midwife, and I'm assuming that'll happen in maybe in the next 5 years or so. And so I have to study and find get into an apprenticeship to do that.
Well, here in Arizona, a lot of different states have different ways of doing it, and there's an apprenticeship program that they can do here. But I tell you, midwife and, you know, birth and babies, I guess babies are still going to come until we're sterile, mm-hmm. You know. But, you know, so, you know, that is definitely going to be preferred when it's $1 trillion that you can't pay. And how do you get in line with government health care to have a baby? I don't know how that works. You know, is it a 12-month line to have a baby? I'm not sure how that works. So this is the mentality, the type of people that, you know, have this to contend with. What advice do you have for a young couple like this? You know, we have a lot of different activities and things that we do. I needed some help from Andrew and Gwen doing some computer work and so on. What we were doing, we're just getting that, you know, coming. So what do? Pay him in silver. You know, what's Andrew doing? He's on the floor and he's going like this. He's going, oh, yes. He's like, you know, rolling around in the silver. You
doing
know?
The Scrooge Duck, you know, swimming like on the old cartoon.
He's like, yay. So I do what I can. You know, anybody that needs, you know, I pay him in silver. You know, these silver coins, we have, you know, Freedom's Phoenix medallions. We have, you know, so this is, you know, we trade this way. We need different things. We need stuff done. Andrew's talking about he wants to start building chicken coops and square foot gardening for people. Just to, you know, it's not only a skill that he gets for himself that he can offer to other people that has value. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, I mean, I don't understand what would have value in an economy that goes to there's no groceries on the shelves. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important to have a type of business that you can use as a trade, you know, you might not always need cash, but maybe you work for food or trade, or, you know, I build you this garden, you fix my car, or you give me that part that I need for my car. These are skills that are lost and that everybody needs. And I think setting up a community that people can be a part of that have these abilities to trade and do commerce with each other in an economy that's being destroyed is important.
You know, and that's you hear me talk some about Pork Fest, and it's a porcupine festival is what it stands for, because the porcupine is the animal that's kind of the mascot of the Free State Project in New Hampshire. And what it was is New Hampshire was selected, and it was I think it was Yale. Yeah, this young guy went to Yale and he did a paper on, you know, can you find freedom in America and how would you do it? Well, he wrote this paper, and he's like, you need to find a state that preferably has an ocean port, you know, access to the ocean, an international boundary, has a low population, it has kind of a sense of freedom already, it's broken down. And all this crap, what he was doing, he kind of pushed it to New Hampshire. I mean, a lot of people want to go to Wyoming, but, you know, it goes to New Hampshire, right? We got Massachusetts people that immigrating from Boston into there to contend with. But, you know, in New Hampshire, they really have a different mindset, and a lot of it is because a lot of people just moving there and visiting that are libertarian-oriented. Well, there's the people that I'm going to be meeting with this weekend, they have a big festival, and I'll be speaking there and doing a radio show and so on. And their average age is in the 20s. They're young. They're educated. They're smart and they're free-minded. And the one thing that they advocate, I'm seeing more of, I never even heard about it until recently over the last year, it's called agorism. Agora is Greek for marketplace. So there's a place here. I seen a sign where it made me think of it. I saw it's Agora Financial. You know, it's just some business here. And I'm going, you know, why do they call it that? And okay, now I know. It's Greek for marketplace. And what it means, how they use it, is that we're going to have our own market outside, for a truly free market, outside of the controls. They don't use Federal Reserve notes. They use barter and exchange and precious metals. And if they do use Federal Reserve notes, it's, you know, not getting taxed. I can tell you that. You know, they're operating outside of the system. And these are 20-something-year-olds that get this. What do you think they're going to develop with the software and the computers and just the relationships that they build over the next decade? You know, are they going to get attacked? Are they going to be targeted? Are they going to try and get a bead on them? How? Why? They're just trying to be left alone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for my generation, it's not even an issue to even ask for permission to do something. It's just like you do it. I'm thinking like, hey, you know, it'd be great to have this bit, you know, do a business. I'm building chicken coops and stuff. I go over to my grandparents' house and I'm telling them about this, you know, idea I have, and they go, well, you know, are people even allowed to have chickens in the city? Are you even allowed to build chicken coops and, you know, regulation this, regulation that? I said, not my problem.
You know, I built their coop. It's up to them then. But, you know, there is some laws. It's something like you have to have the permission of your neighbors. You can't have roosters, and it has to be 80 feet from anybody that would complain. So we put it in the corner of, you know, one area of our yard. The young woman lawyer that lives next door, she don't care. Give me some eggs. The other guy is more than 80 feet from him, so I don't care what he says, and we don't have roosters. It's done. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. But, you know, it should be liberalized even more because people are going to have to eat. Well, this is the mindset that you're dealing with. Permission. I got to ask permission in order to survive, to sustain my life, to live, to provide for myself. What if I don't believe I need to ask permission? What happens then? Oh, man, shiny badgers come out then. Well, you know, this is what's happened. I'll get back to the promise clip from Jon Stewart with the left breaking with Obama and Meredith Whitney on CNBC telling you what's up, what I've been prepping this whole thing for. She says, be ready. Here it comes again and worse. We'll be right back.